chapter 4, Matthew chapter number 4, and we're going to read verses 18 through 20, and you know, every time something like this happens, and I go through life feeling rushed sometimes, but it makes me think that when we get to heaven, we're not going to have to be rushed. Thank the Lord. It just reminds us there's a better day coming. And so Matthew chapter number 4, and I want to say while you're turning there that we have Daisy May with us today, Brother Bradley and Sister Amber's little baby, and so this is her first time being in church since she came into the world. So we welcome them, and she's just as cute as can be, and get by and look at her after the service. She's sweet, and we thank the Lord. You know, birth is a miracle. Every time you get around a newborn baby and look at them, and we went over there the other night, and Chloe held her, and she said, look at her cute little fingers. They're just as cute as can be. And so thank the Lord. That's a blessing. All right, Matthew chapter 4, if you found your place, we're going to read verses 18 through 20, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And I'll give you the message the Lord laid on my heart this morning. And I think the Lord's in all the details, even as I was thinking about what I was going to try to preach today. I won't try to preach on this subject. I'll tell you even before I get started. Spiritual leadership and followership. Now, I might be making up that word followership, but I don't believe God uses anybody as a leader who is not proven that they can also be a follower. And I want to try to preach on that subject this morning. Spiritual leadership, and what goes right along with that is being a spiritual follower as well. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible said, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for letting us be here today and all the many blessings that you've given to us. God, it is a reminder today of all the many blessings, the conveniences of life that we just are so familiar with and we take for granted. Lord, we thank you for those blessings, for water and heat and light and cars to drive in and come to church with the heat on. And Lord, these things are a blessing from you, and we thank you for them. Lord, we pray that you'd help us as we look into the Word of God this morning. I pray you'd help me to say everything that you'd have me to. And I pray, Lord, that you'd get glory and honor out of it. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. No doubt there's several needs represented here this morning. We all have different things, different struggles in our life. And I pray, Lord, the Word of God would just speak to our hearts today. I pray you'd give me liberty to just preach and bring what you'd have brought. And I pray, Lord, we'd be receptive. I pray, Lord, we'd be the church you'd have us to be in these days and times in which we live in. And we'll thank you for all that you do. We come asking these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's read verse 19 again. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, probably a lot of people have it memorized. But it says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." When I read the Bible, I like to imagine what's taking place and what's happening, and I can just see Peter and Andrew sitting down there. They're fishers. That's their business. That's their life's work. And so they're sitting down there. They're by the seashore, no doubt, and they're doing just like they do on any other day, working in the family business, fishing. Maybe they've already come in from fishing that night. Whatever they would be doing on that day, mending their nets, cleaning the fish, weighing the fish, selling the fish, everything that's involved in that business, that's what they're doing. when Jesus comes by. And when Jesus comes by, the Bible says in verse number 19 that he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And here's the interesting thing about Matthew chapter number 4 is what happens in verse number 20. The Bible just says, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. That is amazing to me that they just, how many of us, if you were down on the job where you work, the family business or your place of employment, and you're just doing what you do each and every day, and can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ coming by and saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of men? And what they did was they quit their job, turned in their resignation. They left what they were doing and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened here. They straightway left their nets and followed him. That is amazing to me that they immediately did this. And not only that they immediately followed him, but they continued following the Lord Jesus Christ. They became his disciples. And they followed him. They followed him all the way to the cross. And after the cross, after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and after Jesus went back to heaven, they became leaders. And the ones that left to follow, they in turn went out and they became the leaders in the early church. Because they had followed, they had learned to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I see the Lord Jesus Christ here, it makes me think about spiritual leadership. What was it about him that they immediately left their nets, they followed him, and they continued to follow him. And so that's very interesting to me. And we want to try to bring out some things about spiritual leadership. Not only did they do that, but now you think about this morning. Here we are 2,000 years later, and the Lord Jesus Christ is still calling people to follow him. And people are still following him and becoming leaders. We are a result of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. This calling and this following and this becoming leaders, we're still carrying on, still carrying on. That's a testimony in and of itself of the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need spiritual leadership in this day and time. And are we doing our part to supply leaders and be leaders in our churches, in our communities, in our families? Let's look at some qualities in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He just said, follow me. And the Bible says they straightway left their nets and followed him. And I want to point out some things out of Matthew chapter number 4 about the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, let's go back to the beginning of the chapter, Matthew chapter number 4. And I want to point out some things. First of all, when we're thinking about characteristics of leadership and what it takes to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, what was it about him that drew those men to follow after him? I believe, first of all, we could say today is without a doubt his spirituality. There was something really different about the Lord Jesus Christ. There was something about his words. There was something about his life, his presenting himself that just had power about it. It had a spirituality about it that was unlike anybody else. Now, the context of Matthew chapter number 4 is what was going on here was he had just been tempted of the devil. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible said, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, he has just gone through a very intense spiritual battle. And he was victorious in that battle. That's what happened. In Matthew chapter number 4, we'll point out some of those things. And the Bible says there in chapter 4 and verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But now, notice what the Bible says specifically. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. Capital S. That's talking about him being led of the Spirit of God. You know, if we're going to have an impact upon this world, if we're going to be the leaders, the men and the women that God would have us to be, we need to be people that are led of the Spirit of God, capital S. Not just going out here and doing whatever we feel like we want to do, but we need to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be intensely spiritual in our dealings with other people. We need to be a people that, as the Bible says, Ephesians chapter number 5, we need to be full of the Spirit of God. We need to be led of the Spirit of God. The Bible says, Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so we need to be led of the Spirit of God, like the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is God's standard, this is God's pattern in the Word of God. If you look over there, we'll not turn right now, but in Acts chapter number 6, the early church. And it come time in the early church when they needed to have some help. That's what was going on. They needed some help in the administration of the daily affairs in the early church. And the disciples said, Acts chapter 6, verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. When they needed some help in the early church, they needed some leadership in the early church, he said, find you some honest men, men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. So what was important in the economy of God was character, number one. Find some men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Their character and their spirituality is what God was interested first and foremost, and that's who the Lord chooses for His spiritual work. Character, your character means, it means everything. Your character, what you are. A good name is rather to be chosen than rubies and diamonds and all. It's better to have a good name. So he said, find some men of honest report. They need to have a good name. And they need to be full of the Holy Ghost. You can have all the talent in the world. You can have men and women in the church that have gifts, they have talents, they're involved in the work, but if they are not spiritual and if they are not good character in what they do, then it will ruin your work. It'll ruin what you're trying to do because carnality comes in and pride comes in and unjust dealings come in. That's why you need people of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost for leadership. And so we see here the Lord Jesus Christ was, he was led of the Spirit. That's what made him such a great leader. Of course, we realize today he's God manifest in the flesh, but we're picking out some things here. The Bible says he was led of the Spirit. His intense spirituality. We need people that are intensely spiritual in their makeup. Led of the Spirit of God. Of good character. Now, second thing I see is not only a spirituality, but there's an ability. There's an ability, and there's three areas that I want to point out that the Lord Jesus had great ability in. Now, first of all, he had great ability in the Scriptures. Look over in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 3, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Now, he's led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. If the devil can get him to give in to temptation, well, the battle's over right there. There'd have been no going to the cross. There'd have been no being the Savior of the world. So he goes through this time of temptation. And you must realize this is at the very beginning of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so at the very beginning, he's tempted. The Bible said in verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, now realize in verse 2, that he has fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and after it he was a hungered. You would be hungry too. Most of you just had breakfast a few hours ago, and you're already thinking about, where are we going to go eat when we get done? We might get done a little early. We'll beat the Methodists down to the Golden Corral. You know, what are we going to eat? But now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's 40 days, 40 nights. He's hungry. And so Jesus comes along and said, when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He could have said Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. That's what he was referring to there. And I have underlined in my Bible in times past these verses where it said in verse 4, Jesus, when he answered the devil, he always answered, it is written. He used the word of God. When the devil came against him to tempt him, Jesus Christ himself used the word of God. He said, it is written. He had a great understanding and a great ability in the scriptures. Same thing in verses 5 through 7. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, listen, the devil uses the Bible too. He just twists it around. And so the devil uses, but it's out of context. I'm not going to point all that out. But the devil uses the Bible too. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. That's Satan quoting from the Bible. But verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So he had a greater understanding and an ability in the scripture than even the devil did. And the same thing in verses 8 through 10. And I'll just read verse 10. When he was tempted, the Bible said, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What are you going to do when the devil comes into your life to tempt you? You better know how to use the word of God. What are you going to do when he comes in your life to try to trip you up from doing what God wants you to do in your life? You'd better have some ability in the scripture to be able to say, it is written. This is what the word of God says. This is our defense. When the devil comes against us, I have counseled, I have talked to people, I have cried with people, I have visited with people that are continually overcome with temptation, and without fail, the conversation goes something like this. I'm talking about when people have victory in their life, and then they fall out of having victory over sin in their lives. It'll go something like this. You been reading your Bible? No. You may think that it doesn't mean much to get up and read your Bible. Well, you just stop. And you see what a heyday the devil will have in your life. You been reading your Bible? No. You been praying? No. You been going to church? No. Right there's what your problem is. If you're going to have victory in this life, you'd better have some ability in the Word of God and use it. It's your defense. It's your defense. And the Lord Jesus Christ had great ability in the Scriptures. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God. And there's no excuse. I mean, absolutely, I know how people are. You know, I don't have time. Once upon a time, I had to be at work at 6 o'clock. I would get up at 4 o'clock so that I could read my Bible and pray and have some time before I went to work. You can do what you want to do. Go to bed earlier. Honestly, going to bed earlier will help you get up earlier. It's just, I don't know, it's a human thing. It'll help you. In the scriptures. But he not only had ability in the scriptures, he had ability in preaching. Now, look in verse number 17, Matthew 4 and 17. Keep in your mind, this is the very first days of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does he do? Right off the bat. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's very interesting to me that the first thing we find the Lord Jesus Christ doing, before he does anything else, he goes out and he preaches. Preaching is important. Now, I know we live in a day and a time where even in a lot of churches, it doesn't seem like preaching is very important, but if you study the Bible, the Word of God, preaching is important. Matthew 16, 15, the Bible said, go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. That's a big job. That's a big job. We don't need less preaching in America in this day and time. We need more preaching. We need more preaching. One of the reasons why we're in such a mess is because we have laid preaching by the side and we brought other things in to substitute the preaching of the Word of God. But I'm telling you, preaching is important. Many places in the Bible we could go. But I tell you this morning, it's our mission. Do you realize we spend more money by far on preaching than we do on anything else? Because we support so many missionaries. What kind of missionaries do we support? I hope we support preaching missionaries, don't you? I hope that's what they're doing when they come and they preach and they realize that preaching is important. And so if you took it out and put it on a chart, you would find that is, we by what we spend our money on are saying we believe preaching is important. We spend more time in our services on preaching than anything else, because preaching is important. In Acts chapter number 6, again over there, I was talking about they needed some help in the early church. And they had grown so large that they needed help in the daily administration of what's going on. And the apostles said, it is not good that we leave the Word of God and serve tables. They said, well, this is obviously something that needs to be taken care of. And it was a need in the early church, but they said, it's not good for us to quit preaching and take care of these physical needs in the church. And that's where they said, choose you out 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Appoint them over these things. In verse 4, they said, but we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They said, that's important. We need to keep preaching. We need to keep ministering the word of God. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the Bible said, then they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 2, he said, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. People need to hear preaching. They need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's interesting to me, first thing that the Lord Jesus did was he went and preached. But if you look in verses 18 through 20, he had a great ability in something else. And I really believe this is where we lack sometimes. He had a great ability in organization. And so he went and he preached. But immediately after and involved in his preaching, he went and he began to call disciples unto himself. And he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Verses 18 through 20. And they did follow him and he did make them fishers of men. And before he went back to heaven, he told the disciples, John 20, 21, he said, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. He had a purpose in calling the disciples because he knew he was not always going to be here and he could not always. Now, you think about this. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. He could do anything he wanted to do. And you know what he chose to do? Instead of doing everything by himself, he chose to choose disciples. And he chose to train those disciples to basically take his place and carry on with the work of the church after he'd gone back to heaven. So he said, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. That's interesting to me that the Lord could have done anything, and he chose to choose frail human beings and endow them with power to carry on with the work after he had gone back to heaven. That's interesting to me. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. You know, the Lord's got something for all of us to do. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I am one that it is hard for me to ask somebody to do something. I don't do a lot of that. I just don't. And that's a flaw on my part. It's hard for me to just ask somebody, brother, will you do this? Will you take care of this? I just don't have time. I always try to do everything by myself. And I've had people offer to me, you know, you need any help. And I'm bad for that. I've been bad for that down through the years. But the Lord has been showing me some things about that. And that's that I can't do everything. I can't do everything. And I'm going to stop not asking people. If you offer to me that, do you need any help, I'm likely to take you up on that in the future, because I am realizing I can't do everything. God never called me to do everything or expected the preacher to do everything, but I think sometimes in our churches we get in our minds, well, you know, the preacher, he'll handle that. But you know what? I can't handle everything. And the older I get, the more I realize that. Last Wednesday night, I made an announcement. I said, we're going to have a men's meeting Monday night at 6 p.m. I have it written down right here, Wednesday night. I said, we're going to have a men's meeting Monday night at 6. And then I said, singing school's next week. It starts Monday night at 7. I announced those two things last Wednesday night. Well, we go home. I don't think nothing else about it. The next morning, Kim says to me, she said, well, I don't guess you're going to singing school Monday night, are you? I said, why not? She said, well, you announced that you was going to have a men's meeting Monday night. I said, you're right. It's hard to be in two places at one time. I said, but honestly, in my mind, I made those announcements. I said all that. Never entered my mind that I can't be in two places at one time. In fact, I told Kim, I said, I'd already imagined in my mind going to both of those things. But you just can't be in two places at one time. I said, why didn't you raise your hand and say something? She said, well, I figured you knew what you was doing. I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I wish everybody quit thinking that I did. Because it puts a lot of pressure on me. And somebody else, even Daddy said, well, I wondered. He said, I started to say something. Appreciate that. Make me look like I lost my mind. But sometimes I think I'm losing my mind. The Lord never intended any of us to do everything. We're real bad. I'm preaching us this morning. We are real bad to some of us get together and say, we need to do this. Just whatever it is, fill in the blank. And then we will agree with ourselves and we'll say, yes, that's right, we need to do that. And that's as far as it goes. Isn't that how we are? You know, if the Lord Jesus Christ saw the need at the very outset of his ministry to get some disciples organized enough to carry on with the work, don't you think we ought to be just as much organized? I know sometimes, boy, we're against organization. I'm against organization without the blessing and the help of the Holy Spirit of God. But I'm not against being organized to be able to carry out the work of the Lord. We need to do better. I need to do better. And I commend the ladies. The ladies do better than the men do. Because normally, usually, if there's a need, the ladies will get together and maybe get meals for somebody. Something happens, but men, we say, well, if you need anything, give me a call. Knowing good and well, nobody's going to call and ask you to do nothing. Because that's how we are. I'd be hard-pressed. We need to do better. We could get a lot more done if we just had some organization. All right, there's spirituality in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's this great ability of His in the Scriptures, in the preaching, and in organizing the disciples and calling them and equipping them. Number three this morning, there's reliability. Verse number 23. The Bible said, and Jesus went about, Matthew 4 and verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. There's reliability. He did what He set out to do. We need to be reliable. I read something the other day that said we are men and women of enthusiasms. And what that means is we get all excited about something and we'll get, you know, just like we're going to set the trail on fire and then we burn out after a while. We are men and women of great enthusiasms, but we don't have a lot of carry through sometimes. If you don't believe that's how we are, just think about all the things that you have at your house that you bought intending to use, but you've never used them. Or you're going to do something, take up a hobby or something, and now you've got a closet full of stuff or a garage full of stuff that you're not using. You became enthusiastic and you laid it aside. Years ago, when we lived in Idaho, Dad and Lynette came to visit us. And while he was out there, me and him, we made a trade. I had a pair of binoculars that he liked. And he had a fly fishing reel that I liked. And I said, I'll trade you them binoculars for that fly reel. And so we made that trade. You know what? How many years ago that's been? Do you know how many times I've used that fly fishing reel? Not one time. But I intended to. That's how we are. Oh, I'm going to do this. And we spend money and equip ourselves. And then we don't do it. That's how we are. Reliability includes a few things. It includes integrity. We got to be dependable in the Lord's work. Integrity, reliability. It includes regularity. We need to be in attendance, in our place, at the appointed time. People don't need to wonder, well, I thought they were going to do this and then we don't show up. We need to be reliable. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. If I say I'm going to be somewhere, if I say I'm going to be involved in a ministry, I need to be reliable. I need to be regular. We need to have stickability in our lives. That if we start something, we stick to it. Years ago, and I was talking with Preacher Honeycutt a while back about the first time. And I'm going to take a minute and tell you, do you know why? I don't know that I've told this in a long time. But I'm going to tell you why I'm on the radio. I was working at ASU. And there was a little Christian radio station over in Blowing Rock. Some of you might remember when that got started up. I think it was WVIO 1510 and a Christian radio station in our county. And I was working filling vending machines at ASU and I was a preacher. God had called me to preach. I did not have a church, but I was listening to that radio station one morning as I was going about my work there in my truck. And as I was listening to the radio station, I was listening to the preacher. Brother Gary Shue was on there, and he had a radio broadcast, but he was about the only one that was on there. And I was listening to him, and I got such a blessing out of what he was preaching. And as he was preaching and I was listening, I said, Lord, I wish you'd raise up some more preachers to go on that radio station. That was really a blessing to me. And as I was praying that and thinking that, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you do it. And I said, Lord, I didn't mean me, I meant somebody else. I really did. I told the Lord that. Lord, I didn't mean me, I meant somebody else. Because I don't have a church, and you know, we always put up all these excuses and everything. But I went and talked to Preacher Honeycutt and told him what God had laid on my heart, and I asked him about it, and he said, Brother Wynn, he said, if God put you in the radio ministry, then you'll stick with it. He said, if God doesn't put you in it, he said, it'll wear you out. It'll work you to death because it's a lot of work. And I was talking to him just a week or so ago about that, and I got to thinking about it. I said, you know what? I said, that's been 20 years ago right now. I said, so I guess God put me in it because I love it. Let me tell you something. If God puts you in something, you need to stick to it. Through the good times, through the bad times, the slow times, and everything else. We need to have some stickability. We need to have some availability in our lives. Now, we say, well, I can't. You just be available to God. And if He calls you and puts you into something, He will make you able to do it. You just be available to Him. For His honor and His glory. So we need to have reliability. And number four, we need to have loyalty in what the Lord calls us to do. We need to be loyal to it. Look in Matthew 16. I'll point out something over there. Matthew chapter number 16. And verse number 21. Now I'm going to close here in just a minute. I'm almost done. But we need to have some loyalty. Matthew 16 and verse number 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now he began to tell them, I'm going to die. They're going to put me to death. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now, can you imagine that? Jesus is preaching and teaching and telling them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to put me to death. I'm going to die on the cross. And Peter gets him. Peter took him. Can't you imagine that? Took him off the side. Now, Lord, we can't have this. You're too important. You know, we'll get you out of town. You know, Lord, you don't do this. But now look what Jesus said to Peter in verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't say, get behind me, Peter. He said, you get behind me, Satan. Because it's Satan that tries to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. And he rebuked him. He said, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Jesus was loyal to what he came to do. And even when his own disciples, near and dear to his heart, tried to talk him out of going to the cross, he associated with and called them the devil for doing that. He was loyal to what he came to do. I could give you examples today, hundreds of examples of Christians in the past that surrendered to do the will of God, and they went out against great odds, and the Lord greatly blessed them. I read about a preacher, his name is James Coleman, back in the 1800s, that was a sheriff, but God called him to preach. And he began to preach, and it said, from his first efforts, there were conversions every time he preached. Praise the Lord for that. Isn't that wonderful? But what are you going to do if you live in 2013? And you can preach and teach and go and witness and try and pray and plead, and you still don't get very many results. You still going to be loyal? It'd be real easy to be loyal if every time you preach, somebody got saved. What if you preach 100 times and nobody gets saved? What if you knock on somebody's door 300 times and nobody's very much interested? What are you going to do? We ought to be loyal to what God's called us to do. Loyalty. And last of all, the great spiritual characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ that you find all through the Bible, God requires from those He uses is humility. We got to be humble in what we do. The theme from Genesis to Revelation is God resists the proud. God resists the proud. God is not interested in pride in our worship, in our service, in our teaching, in our preaching. If anyone could have boasted, Paul could have boasted. But he said, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the least of the apostles because he persecuted the church of God. And every generation before us, we are just like every generation before us. We have a great work to do and a little time to do it in. Do you realize that this morning? There's a lot of work to do. We have a little time to do it in. Over in Isaiah chapter number 6, and I am closing with this. Isaiah seen the Lord high and lifted up. And you know what the words of the Lord over there. He didn't say, Isaiah, will you go for me? The Bible says that the Lord said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? He didn't ask Isaiah point blank specifically. I gather from that the Lord is looking for a volunteer spirit in you and I. That'd be a good message to preach over in Tennessee, wouldn't it? Because they claim to be the volunteers. But I believe the Lord is looking for a volunteer spirit in us. And Isaiah had that volunteer spirit. The Lord didn't say, Isaiah, will you go? The Lord said, who will go for us? The Bible says over in Isaiah chapter number 6 that Isaiah said, then said I, here am I, send me. That's what the Lord desires out of us. Here am I, send me. Would you be available for the work of the Lord? It's not all preaching. That's a big part of it, but there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. And we have more and more to do. And we need more and more help. And I see more and more that I can't do everything. God's not called me or any of the preachers to do everything. But if everybody do a little, we could do a lot for His honor and His glory. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.